All right. Today we're still talking about spiritual warfare. There is much to talk about spiritual warfare, of which we will incrementalize it a little bit. If you would turn to Deuteronomy 5. Father, we just come before you. Holy Spirit, enlighten us with your truth. Give me the words that you would want me to express to your people. Jesus, may you be glorified and lifted up in all things today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Put your finger in there and then go to 1 Samuel 15:23. Put your finger in there and then go back to Deuteronomy. I'm giving you two scriptures. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 14, and 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. We there? We got it? Okay, let's go. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts out spirits, or who casts spells, and who is a medium or a spiritualist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. And 1 Samuel 15 says, "For rebellion is as a sin as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." We need to take heart. And when Jesus speaks about something, we need to really pay attention to what he's saying. In the second verse, we have to understand that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And today, we're going to expose witchcraft. Today, we're going to expose what this spirit does in the midst of the body and some of the effects. And it's going to be a couple weeks in which we're going to go through this, because there's so much that has to be exposed, that I just really believe that as we begin to move in this, we can see how that spirit has used us in a way to manipulate, control, and influence others in a way that's not good. Witchcraft is what we're going to be talking about today. And we know generally that witchcraft is the manipulation of other people. We know also that this spirit is running rampant. This spirit uses fear. It uses depression. It uses a few other spirits in which to control or gain control of a person. It will use fatigue. It will try to exhaust you. And that is what is happening to us at Streams. This spirit is trying to fatigue us, to make us so tired and weary that we give up. Well, we're not giving up. Okay? We're going to give up that spirit of witchcraft so it doesn't affect us anymore. That's the only thing we're giving up. We're going to repent. We're going to renounce any kind of influence. And we're going to get clean before God. Amen? God says to us that in the land that he's giving to us, we are not to practice these things. We are being given a land. We are called his people. We are kings and priests. If we do these things like they do it out there, he will go against us. He will reject us. And we don't want that. We definitely do not want that. We have to understand that there is nefarious intent with this spirit to destroy the work of God within the local body. Okay? The Holy Spirit wants to educate us to the truth of this Spirit. And as we begin to understand, maybe you can begin to see how important it is for you to develop your gift of discernment. You have to know how to judge what's being done. Not by that person. That person may not understand that they're being used or utilized by a spirit of witchcraft. Okay? The spirit of witchcraft is not this witch that flies around on a broom and you know, what's that commercial where we see the witch in the broom? Geico, yeah, you know. It is not that. It is not that. Although that is comical. And of course, Irene and I were down at shore yesterday walking around and we saw this t-shirt and she's going, hey, what day is it? Hey, come on, you know what day it is, come on. Yeah, that it had that camel on the front and it had all the sayings. And she says, you ought to get that for Edna. And I said, you know, he's got enough of his stuff. That would be witchcraft. That would be witchcraft on my part. Try to get him to do something different. And I don't want to have to repent any more than I got to. So we're going to break this down. We're going to take it step by step. And we're going to really dissect this. Now understand also that I'm going to be attacked for exposing this. I already know it. And so will you. You need to put your spiritual discernment on, and you need to start paying attention to these things, because this is reality that we are going to be walking in, that we have already been walking in, and we may not be aware of what's happening. I'll give you some definitions. A witchcraft is the art or practice of a witch, sorcerer, or magician. That's what witchcraft is. It's the practice. A witch is one who practices magical influences. What makes this spirit so dangerous is the ability to divert attention from itself and its activities to bring the focus upon you. In other words, this spirit will influence you to a point to make you think that you're the problem, when their whole thing is to get you to do what they want you to do. Have you ever had somebody hang around with you and eventually influence you so much that normally what they're saying to you is like, man, that don't make any sense. But they say it so many times. They say it so many times that it starts to sound reasonable. It starts to sound plausible. That we accept it. Like, what has been said for 100 years, or over 100 years? The separation of church and state. That's a lie. How can you separate what God has put together in order for a people to live free? He's in control. He knows what's going on. And if we don't understand that this is an insidious, nefarious plan in which to cause people to go into bondage for control, to get them to do what they want us to do, and to have it and make it sound like this is good stuff to have, when what we give away is costlier than what we receive. And we have to understand, Jesus set us free. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So I don't care what this government or what the governments are saying. All these governments are being controlled by the evil one, and their whole purpose is to control us. And one of those things is wave their magical hand, speak with their glorious voice, that what they're saying is true. And you have to discern, or be able to discern truth from fact. Remember I talked about this a couple weeks ago? That people who have a malicious intent will use facts. We are not a people of facts. We are a people of truth. That's who we are. We are kings and priests of truth. And witchcraft will use spirits of lies to twist us up. Have you ever been involved with somebody where you've been in their company and you leave after visiting with them and you come back and you're like, what just happened? It's like all of a sudden while you're in there, you're in this state of confusion. It's like this black cloud came upon your head and upon your shoulders, and you're like, you're trying to get a little bit of light in here, and this person is just talking, or these people are doing things, and you walk out of that situation, you get out to free spiritual air, and you're confused. It's like, what happened? Have you ever had that? I have had a lot. I don't mean it just because I'm pastor, but I run into all kinds of people, and it's like, what are you talking about? Or, what you're talking about is insane. And their speech is in such a way to get you to agree. And once you agree, that spirit's got you. You gotta know truth. You gotta know what God says about everything and anything. Jesus said that the church shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This spirit also, when it can get you to focus upon yourself, will use manipulation, illusion, and diversion to achieve its plan for you and for me to do its dirty work. Okay? If you, and I will say this again until Jesus comes, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a prayer. You really don't. If you have a prayer life, you better take it up the next notch. Because at the level that you're operating in, you become too comfortable. And those spirits know that. And if you aren't ascending the mountain of God and taking your prayer life a little bit higher, they will oppress you to keep you satisfied to where you're at. That's why I say, you know, if you understand Matthew 6:33, which is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I break it down this way, that if we're about His business, He's definitely about our business. Okay? And we can agree to that. It doesn't matter if we're students. It doesn't matter if we're in work outside the church. It doesn't even matter if we're in work in the church. And I can tell you, from the pulpit, there is nefarious things being said, and I've just recently heard that a pastor is even denying the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, whoa. And people are accepting this. It's like it gets glossed over. That's why you need to know the truth. This is why God said to me this morning that He is with us, that we're going to suffer these things, but He's given us the victory. We've got to go through this stuff. What is manipulation? Manipulation is the art of managing by artful skill the performance of others to suit one's purpose or advantage. Again. I'm compliant. Oh, yes. Yeah, sure. Manipulation is the art of managing by skillful art or artful skill the performance of others to suit one's purpose or advantage. Now, there is good manipulation. Our bosses incentivize us that if we do not perform our job, we will not have a job. Right? If, in school, if you guys don't study for your test, you will take it again and again. And again, and if you do so well as to keep messing up, You'll get the chance to repeat that grade again and again. God's plan is for His people to take over everything. That's God's plan. It wasn't just to get the church saved, and it wasn't for us to come together. It is for us to train you to take your places of authority. Why? So that you can wage war against the powers of darkness with righteousness and holiness, truth. You have been predestined by God to rule and reign, whether it's in your vocation, overseeing people, or in a case of encouraging believers. Come on, we can do this. Come on, let's do this. Every person is important in this warfare. The spirit is very adept at getting the unaware to do what itself would rather not, while influencing others to believe that it is in their best interest to do so. I like it with college kids. I love it. Becky, I'm going to pick on you because I can, because you're a college kid. This spirit of witchcraft works with the unaware, uninformed, and immature. And a college kid is all three, wrapped into the freedom to begin to start making decisions. And guess what? They make bad decisions every day. Come on, Beck, let's go out and party! You don't need to go into class and study. No, this is college, man. Come on. Let's go booze our brains out and do some other carnal things. Because guess what? Our parents are paying for it. We don't have to worry about it. Fail it, we'll do it again. No problem. Well, my kids understood that you failed it. You paid for it. Because mom and dad was not paying for it a second time. You want to have fun? You do what's required of you first. And that's how our Father is. He wants us to have fun, but He's requiring us to get our acts together. And witchcraft doesn't want us to do that. It wants to entangle us into the affairs of the world. Ah, sleep in. You don't have to go to work. They understand. And you find out that you slept in 4 or 5 days in a row. Next thing you know is when you finally get to work, you ain't got a J-O-B. You know what that is? That's a book of the Bible. See, I'm recovering. I'm getting better. I'm actually doing a funny. Not throwing a bomb and it's a dud out there. Here we go. Okay. Ba-da-ba. I'm doing this so you can begin to understand how the Spirit is already proactive within our lives. Okay? Now, we may be so super spiritual that, oh, Pastor, that doesn't happen. Remember, diversion and illusion. You don't know that you're being manipulated. What is illusion? It is the art of deception by producing a false impression with the intent to deceive. It is the ability of creating a perception in an unreal way. Magicians are great for this. You know, sleight of hand type of stuff. And how many of us sit there and we try to figure it out, and then when we think we figure it out, we're like Sheldon. Remember when Horowitz did the card thing? Okay, or Wolowitz? That's right. Jewish name? I don't know. They're all they're witches, whatever. You know. Yeah, but Sheldon was trying to figure this out. We can't figure it out. You know why? Because it's an illusion. It's not real. It's not based on truth. And what happens is when we think that we can't be deceived, you're already deceived, because that's where deception's got you. You're already flowing in an illusion. because it's the sleight of hand. When I'm looking over here, they're doing something over there to fake me out. When I look over there, they stop their activity and they do this over here. I can remember when Sean was, we were in the Republican Club, and I come walking in, I'm like this. My spirit is like, I'm agitated. And he goes, what's going on? I said, man, something's going on. I don't know what it is, but my spirit is so agitated. Later on that day, a woman comes through, and she's painting this picture. And you were there, Nolan, when the woman came in, and she wanted help. And she wasn't dressed real nice and stuff and all. And so we went out and we spent $100 to get her some food into her house. And then Pastor, boop, let's find out about this person. And I start checking around. You see, just because you say one thing, I'm going to research behind your back to find out more about you. I have to protect you guys. So I found out that she wasn't all she was supposed to be. And one of our congregants, I forget who it was, may have been Sean, was driving down Main Street, and here she is. She's decked out to the nines. She's got these clothes and saw her going to a church. So I called the pastor. I said, what's going on? He goes, about what? And I said, you know, she was just at my church Sunday doing this. Oh, she needed transportation. So we let her use our vehicle. And I said, really? I said, they're manipulating you and they're trying to manipulate us. And I said, you know, because we want to help, we must discern first what the intent of this person is. And they will. They'll use our heart. They have used our heart. But now we've learned that, you know what? We're not going to just jump at this. We're not just going to do something. I'm going to discern what's going to happen, and the fruit of your life is going to come out eventually. I just believe you can't help yourself to the covert that God has prepared for His people. You know? What God's people has brought into the storehouse is for God's people, not ungodly people. It's an illusion. Diversion is the skill of turning aside by distraction. And again, college kids are great because they're easily distracted. Ed's easily distracted. That's it. You know, let Shadow loose and, ooh, kitty. You know, forget about what he's all about. You know,
it's.
Yeah, he's getting better with that, you know. Holly's teaching him better. We do. We must, in our prayer lives, ask God to help us gain the wisdom to utilize discernment. And discernment comes with the spirit of revelation and wisdom. That's how we discern. We need revelation. We need wisdom to gain this knowledge. But a lot of times, what we see is this person that is eating up our time, trying to manipulate us into doing things that you know, we normally would do anyhow. We go against protocol of what the Father has told us to do. Because after all, our hearts are such, and it's so tenement for us to help people that we get in the way. And what do we call that? When we get in the way of what God wants to do in a person's life, we call it unsanctified mercy. We get spanked, and then they get whatever God wants. He makes sure He's got our attention, and He makes sure He diverts it from being involved, which is a good thing. He's trying to do something in a person's life. We want to go and rescue them. I know people that have married women because they wanted to go rescue them. They're this knight in shining armor, and they're all this wonderful stuff. Well, they're deceived. They're under this illusion that they can do stuff. Women marry unbelievers. Why? Because they're under this delusion that I could, if I could just get them to church, you could get them saved, Pastor. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. And I'm not coming down on people, but the rationale is not there. If you're in a relationship and you enter into marriage, understand the difficulties that it's going to create. God tells us we're not to be like the other nations. They did this. And it's part of witchcraft. We're under illusion that something good is going to happen when God has told us it's not. And it's rebellion. We need to repent. Let God do His thing. Get it clean, get it under the blood, and renounce the effect of being used in such a way we can get them saved. If we're in a marriage, and one person is saved and one is not, the person who is not is sanctified because of this one that is saved. What is sanctification? They set aside for God's purpose. God wants to do something in that person's life. He will allow the enemy to attack them, to ruin their health, ruin their finances, ruin their job, do everything he needs to do, because nothing is more important than that person coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have to understand, God will do it because He's doing it in your life. He wants to show grace through your life to that person. And you're there to pray, not lay it on them, but pray it on them in such a way that it brings glory to God, and that person eventually yields themselves to Jesus Christ. One who is under the influence of the Spirit senses a loss of personal identity, loss of freedom, loss of self-confidence, loss of self-esteem. At the very foundation of this attack is the dealing of unusual conditions of depression and fatigue. The longer you're staying with this person, the more chance that the spirit of witchcraft will unleash depression and fatigue upon you. How many of us before Christ, we were involved with people, intense relationships, but when we got out and got saved, we were just so tired. So tired. And we try to argue in our minds why to stay in it. When God says, come out from that. Come out. You could be part of an assault of spiritual witchcraft. I'm not saying you are. But I'm trying to expose some things here in a practical everyday life. Whether you're a college kid, a student in high school, a parent, single person, married person. And this is working within the church to a point that, as I've said, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts anymore. Where's the life of Jesus Christ in your life? Oh, Pastor, you know, that's not true. Okay, it may not be true for you, but it is true. And God says not to be taken in that. Because what's at stake is your kingship. What's at stake is your priesthood. That He has brought you in. Jesus saved you from this nonsense. He has washed you clean from the blood. He has given you His Word filled with promises. He has set you on a pedestal to a position you can't earn. You can't do enough good with. He has given it to you freely because He has suffered the penalty of our crimes. And yet we continue to stay in this. And it's so insidious that the church doesn't even recognize what Spirit is doing this to them? Could it be that the church is immature? I believe so. Is it because the church is uninformed? Oh, definitely. Definitely. When you don't know the Word of God, or you do, it's even worse if you do, and you continue in this, you're jeopardizing your very salvation. Isn't that what Samuel says? And he used this against Saul, who was king of Israel. We are kings and priests of our God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords of the universe. How does this process begin? Well, first of all, we know spirits are invisible. Okay? We can agree with that, right? Okay. The desire of evil spirits is to have a host. Okay? Anybody seen Alien? That was a great movie, especially when it's supper time, you're eating spaghetti. That was great. Hello, my baby. Hello, my... Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm sad. Okay, pray for me. Okay, I know.
We're right there with you, right?
I need my cap and cane, you know? Yeah, that kind of stuff. Oh, thank you. Thank you. But what happens is this spirit wants to gain a host. And what it will do is eventually walk through people's lives. Okay? Finding somebody, and every once in a while it whispers in our ear, and then we agree with it, and we start doing some of the things. The longer we keep entertaining this spirit to manipulate other people, the more that spirit gains control. Once it has control of you, then what happens is its next thing is to get other people to do for it, which is under the realm of the Jezebel spirit. Okay? I've done some teaching on it. Jezebel is an evil, malicious, manipulative spirit. Thing about this spirit is it doesn't discern between male and female. It doesn't. It will use anybody and everybody to feed upon us. It is a spiritual parasite. That's why fatigue comes in. That's why depression comes in. Because we allow it to sap our spiritual strength. And where's our strength? Our strength is in the joy of the Lord. And this whole spirit, what it wants to do is separate us from that relationship with Jesus Christ. If it can separate us from the life of Jesus Christ, its next thing is to do the same thing with others. And it works within the church. And we don't even realize how it works within the church. But I'm going to expose it next week. It's kind of like, anybody see Chop? How many of us watch Chop? It's a food show. Yeah, the chefs that make these meals out of stuff. It's like, yeah, well, we're at that commercial time. We're chopping. You've got to come back next week. But is this good? Is this? Can you begin to start thinking about how we've been used by this spirit? And the whole point of this spirit is to gain control in your life. Okay? If it can gain control in your life, its natural progression is to influence others. And when it gets others, it's what I refer to as Jezebel eunuchs. Because what was a eunuch? It's a person who couldn't procreate, right? But did everything. They stayed guard for the harem, you know, all the women, because the king knew that, you know, he couldn't impregnate the women. So they did everything to appease the women. Okay? It's a spiritual illustration that's in there. But next week we're going to pick up from this point here. About fatigue, how does fatigue come in, some of the thoughts that enter in, and how this spirit kind of like manages to get us start doing things in such a way when we should be like James. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and even slower to move. This spirit works with the prophetic, against the prophetic. It wants to stymie the prophetic. Why? Because prophets tend to be impetuous. I'm guilty. I would just want to do what God says. I've learned. In order to release this spirit of prophetic, we have to do combat with this spirit of witchcraft. Only you can determine if you've been influenced, been utilized in such a way, because if you're not doing what God has instructed you to be, and really go forward in that, you may be assaulted. You may be under the assault of a witchcraft spirit. Amen? Father, I just come before you, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you, God, that we're not going to have a marathon today. That your people have a lot to think about, God. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts of those areas in which we have aligned ourselves in our ignorance of thinking that we're okay when God, we let your word judge us so that we can repent, God. That we can renounce any of those effects and be cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. Father, as we go forward this week, I bind that spirit. I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. It has no authority in Streams of Life. It has no authority in the lives of Streams people. I release you, Holy Spirit, to do the work, to cleanse us, to make us more like Jesus Christ. And I don't care how silly it sounds or even if it's borderline wacko job. God, the Spirit is a real realm in which we must learn and operate in. Father, as a people who seek your face, we want to hear your voice clearly, Lord. And we want to do your will. So God, do your work in our hearts today. Cleanse us and make us right so that when we gather together in your name, God, we will take this next step a little bit further. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.